It truly is a joy to be here with you this morning. And JB, I appreciate your prayers. I think if I could think of one word that would describe my preparation and study for this time, it would be weakness. I was sitting over breakfast this morning wrestling with whether I should scrap what I had and rewrite the whole thing. So I didn't do that. The Lord helped me, and I'm going to try to present what he's helped me prepare. So, our passage this morning, as JB mentioned, it is Psalm 27. I meant to look up that page number in the Pew Bible, and I forgot. So if anybody needs help finding it, Mac, do you have it?
Yes, sir. It's on page 666 and 667.
Okay, so 666 and 667 in the Pew Bible, if you need to find it there. Before we read it, I'd like to give kind of a disclaimer or a word of warning about where we're going this morning. We're going to spend a good deal of our time talking about our personal seeking after the Lord, our personal relationship with the Lord. And as we step through these verses, I'm going to invite you, along with me, to look into your heart, to examine yourself and see, where am I at in my relationship with the Lord? Have I been seeking Him? What are the affections and desires in my own heart? And any time that we do that, it can lead to discomfort and realize, wait a minute, I'm not where I should be. And I know for me in preparing for this, I've definitely been there. So I would invite you to not shy away from asking the hard questions about what's going on in your heart and in your walk with the Lord. And if you look into your heart and you see maybe things aren't the way they should be, then don't tune me out, but lean into God's word and let's be encouraged by what we find there. A quote that has been helpful for me in thinking through these things that I'd like to share, it's from Ian Hamilton in his book, The Gospel-Shaped Life. And this is what he says. I want to assure you of one thing. Reading the Psalms will not leave you content with the state of your Christian life. They will unsettle you as well as encourage you. John Calvin wisely said of the Psalms that they are an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. See yourself in the Psalms, but more importantly, see Christ there. And that's going to be our goal this morning, is to see ourselves in the Psalm, in Psalm 27, but more importantly, to see Christ there. So with that, let me read Psalm 27 for us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, For false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let me pray for us again real quick before we dive in. Father, thank you that we can gather together this morning as your body, as your people whom you have redeemed and set apart from the world. God, thank you for giving us your word, for speaking to us through your word. Lord, thank you for giving us your spirit who works on our hearts and who is transforming us into the image of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us now in this time, that you would show us more of yourself. Lord, that you would grow us and work on us. And Lord, ultimately, that you would receive glory in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So consider with me for a moment, what do you fear? Or whom do you fear? Maybe you fear heights or bugs or flying in airplanes. Maybe you fear suffering or sickness or death. Maybe you fear change or the unknown or discomfort. Maybe you fear failure. Whatever our fears may be, we all have fears. We all have things that make us afraid. And fear is really the backdrop of Psalm 27. We see at the very beginning, David is comforting himself, reminding himself of who the Lord is, because he's in a fearful circumstance. And he says, whom shall I fear? We see in verse 2 that there were evildoers coming against him, that he had adversaries and foes. In verse 3, it sounds like there's an army coming against him. And we can read elsewhere in the scriptures of how David basically lived as a fugitive, with people hunting him and trying to kill him, trying to do whatever they could to get rid of him. And we even see in verse 12 that there are false witnesses that have risen against him. So the backdrop of this passage is one of fearful circumstances or difficult circumstances, we might say. And really over the course of the psalm, we see some ups and downs in David's heart. So just looking at the structure, verses 1 through 6, David is basically preaching a sermon to himself, reminding himself of who God is, of what he's done, and he's encouraging himself. He's reminding himself of the truths of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my stronghold. My adversaries, they're going to stumble. So he seems to be in a good place. But then we get down to verse 7, and he cries out to the Lord with this plea for help. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. And he carries that down through verse 12. And then in verses 13 and 14, he comes to a place of resolve and rest where he says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then again, he's preaching to himself, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. So we see some ups and downs in David's life, and even just in his prayer and his song here. Out of all of those things, I think we see a really helpful example in this psalm that we can learn from David for our own lives. And our outline this morning that we're going to focus on is very simple. I just have one major point for us, and it's taken from verse 4. And we're going to title it One Thing. So out of all the ways we could go, we're going to focus on the one thing that David highlights above all the rest. So let me read verse 4 again for us, and then we'll dig in. So verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, based on the first three verses, We would almost expect David to say something like, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that he would just take away my enemies, that he would just fix my problems, that he would remove me from these fearful circumstances." That seems like a logical jump when the context is fear and armies. But that's not what he says, is it? No, instead he says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." And so we see here the main thing on David's mind and on his heart, and the thing that he's desiring above all else, is he wants to be with God. He wants to see more of God. He wants to know God more. He wants to enjoy God more. And so we're gonna take a look at this verse more closely, and we're going to do it just by following the actions that we see David share in verse 4. And so it's 5 points. We see David ask. We see him seek. We see him dwell, gaze, and inquire. So ask, seek, dwell, gaze, and inquire. So first, David asks the Lord for something. I think it's important for us to recognize that the thing that David is asking for, this reveals what his desire is. Especially in a pressure situation, somebody's coming after you, fearful circumstances, those situations tend to reveal what's really important to you in your heart. Your true desires are going to boil to the top, or rise to the top in those situations. And for David, he asks the Lord that God would basically invite him into his presence. He's asking the Lord more than anything else that he would get to know God more. It's almost as if he's saying, "Lord, if I could ask you anything, if I could have anything, it would be that I could be with you, to be where you are, to see you, to know you." Now, in David's time, the Lord manifested his presence by dwelling in the tabernacle. In this time, this was before Solomon, before the temple was built. And so David certainly had an idea in his mind of, I could go to the Lord's house, the tabernacle, where I could be near to God's presence. But I think David also has an idea of seeking the Lord in faith, even when he's hiding out in the cave, or when he's on the run, hiding out in the wilderness. And for us, I think it's closer to that second example, because we don't have a tent set up in the parking lot where we go to meet with God. We don't have a specific location that we're tied to, obviously. But the good news is that for us today, if you have put your trust in Christ, if you've repented of your sins and come to Jesus, then you have 24/7 access to come into the Lord's presence. Anytime, anywhere, you can draw near to God through Christ. A really helpful verse here for us, I think, is Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. That says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." So, did you catch that? It says, we can come into the holy places, into God's presence, by the blood of Jesus. Because of his sacrifice for us, because he has paid for our sins, we have access to come before him anytime, anywhere. David didn't know the full story like we do when he was writing these things. But the good news is that for us who are in Christ today, the door has been opened for us to seek the Lord. And so the question for us to ask here is, What are you asking the Lord for? If you're in Christ, you have access to come before the Lord anytime and anywhere. And so I think the main question is, are you asking Him for that? If you're in the midst of fearful circumstances or a challenging season in your life, are you asking the Lord primarily to just take those away or to remove your anxieties? And while it's certainly a good thing for us to pour out our hearts to the Lord and bring our needs and our cares before Him, I think it's helpful for us to see David here that his chief desire, the thing he wanted more than anything else, was to be near the Lord. If you're hearing these things and you've never put your trust in Christ, maybe you said, Pete, I've never sought the Lord, never really even thought about it, then the invitation for you today is to draw near to Him, to ask Him to draw you near to Himself. Put your faith in Christ. And if you have questions about that, then please talk to me or one of the other members here, and we would love to tell you more about how you can draw near to God through Jesus. One other thing to consider here this morning, even if you're in Christ, you put your faith in Christ, you're walking with Him, if you have any unrepentant sin in your life or sin that you need to confess, things that need to be dealt with in your own heart, this really goes along with what Sam shared last week from Psalm 32. If we have unrepented of sin or unconfessed sin in our hearts, it can blur our vision from seeing the Lord rightly, and it can certainly hinder our ability to fellowship with one another. So I would encourage you, if that's you this morning, then confess your sin to the Lord. Confess sin to a brother or sister in Christ if you need to. Repent of those sins. And then ask the Lord to draw you near to Himself. So continuing in verse 4, we've looked at ask. David asks the Lord, and that reveals his main desire, his chief desire. But next we see that David says he's going to seek after this. And so I think a helpful way to think about it is David doesn't just ask. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to ask God that He would draw me near and then sit idly by waiting for God to do something. But he says, no, I'm asking God for this, and then I'm going to seek after this. And the word that's used for seek here is, it's just an idea of searching something out. This is what the Hebrew word means. Kind of a funny example is, I forget which specific book it's in, but at one point, before Saul becomes king, he and his men are searching for his father's donkeys. And so the idea is they're scouring the countryside. They're seeking out these animals because they're valuable to them. And that's the same word that David uses here, is seeking after these things. He's searching out. It gives the idea of this isn't just a casual glancing around, but this is an urgent, focused, energized effort. So this is work. And we see this idea echoed, maybe more specifically, in verse 8 of Psalm 27. So if you look down the page and see in verse 8, David says, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Now, the idea of seeking God's face, it kind of sharpens the idea of seeking Him. If you're seeking someone's face, what comes to mind there? It has an idea, or it kind of brings thoughts of a more intimate knowing of someone if you're going to see somebody face to face. An example that might be helpful is, let's say you have a close friend that you haven't seen in a while, and they're in town, and you're going to spend time together. Or maybe you're married and you and your spouse have an anniversary coming up. What do you do? Are you going to stop in the gas station and just grab a quick bite to eat or a quick snack where, you know, you may see each other, you may talk a little bit, but you're not really going to be spending lots of face-to-face time when you're going in and out of the Quick Trip. No, you're probably going to go to a nice restaurant or your favorite restaurant. You're going to want to find a place where you can sit down right across from each other, look each other in the eyes, and talk about life and enjoy each other's company and enjoy intimate conversation with each other. I think that's closer to the idea of seeking the Lord's face. And the amazing thing for us today is that the Lord of all the universe invites us and even commands us to seek His face. When we see it in verse 8, this isn't a prayer. And David says, of the Lord, you, God, have said, seek my face. And then David responds by saying, your face, Lord, do I seek. So, some questions here that we can use to examine our hearts are, what does it practically look like for us to seek God's face? Tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, what does it look like in your life, or what could it look like in your life to really seek God's face? A second question, have you been seeking the Lord's face? Have you really been seeking after the Lord like this? Are you desiring to see Him and know Him personally? To spend some face time one-on-one with the Lord of the universe? He's invited us into this. He's even commanded us to do this. And then a third question, what can you change in your life to begin walking in this way? If you realize, wow, I haven't been seeking the Lord like this, then what are some practical things that you could do to help walk in this? And so please consider these questions on your own. Consider these questions in your small group time this week, or in your conversations and interactions with each other. God's design is that we would seek after Him. His desire is that we would seek Him and know Him, and that we would seek His face. So let's walk in that. Next, briefly, we're going to look at dwell. In verse 4, we see that David said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And we're just going to touch on this one briefly. Not only is David asking the Lord to help, not only is he putting forth effort to seek the Lord, but his desire is to dwell in the Lord's presence, and for this to be a daily thing. And it's not just a daily thing, but it's an all my days daily thing, a lifelong daily thing. So consider your own life. Are you seeking the Lord daily? And are you viewing this as not just a daily thing, but as a lifelong daily thing? It's a beautiful thing that in this room we have some very young believers and some young people who are just, you know, in their teens. We have children in here, and we have the blessing of having many older people who have lived long, full lives, and who have walked with the Lord for many, many years, for decades. What a beautiful thing. And I think the awesome part of this encouragement is that this applies to all of us. Because it's not just a daily thing once you turn 30, or a daily thing until you turn 70, or something like that. But the cry of David's heart is, I want to dwell in the Lord's presence for all of my days, every day, for all of my days, as many days as the Lord will give me. So, some questions to consider. Do you have a desire to dwell in the Lord's presence every day? Do you have a desire to draw near and know Him more every day? This next question was particularly convicting for me. How hard is it for you to imagine a day without seeking the Lord? Does the thought of not seeking the Lord on a given day, does that bother you? Would you feel like something was missing? Or are you familiar with those kinds of days? Is your heart longing to be with the Lord? One other question to go along with the backdrop of this psalm is, if you're in fearful circumstances, if you have enemies, or even if you're just dealing with anxieties or unknowns, is the main desire of your heart, is your default reaction to say, I need to go be with God. I want to go spend time with God. I want to seek Him, seek His presence, seek strength and comfort from Him? Or is your initial response to just try to figure out a resolution to your problem or to your stress or your fear? So we've looked at ask, seek, and dwell. And next, we're going to dig into gaze. And so the phrase here in verse 4 is, David wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord for all of his days. Now, again, David could have asked the Lord for a lot of different things, but his desire, his heart, is to see the beauty of the Lord. The word for beauty here also can mean delightfulness. And really the idea behind it is David wants to enjoy the Lord. He's not just coming to the Lord to spend time with Him so that He'll fix his problems or because he has to. But David's doing this because he wants to, because it brings him joy, because there's beauty here that David wants to see more than anything else. Now, practically, what does this mean for us? How can we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? What is that going to look like for us this week? And an example that I'd like to give, I hope this is helpful, is, again, we don't have access to like a physical place where we're going to go see God's beauty with our eyes. No, we can't go see God with our eyes. But we have His Word that He's given us. And imagine a situation where someone that you love and who you're very close to went away on a long journey, and the only communication that you could have with them is they sent you letters. And you know, you would go check your mailbox every day and see if you had another letter from this loved one. Now, in our age of the internet and smartphones, it's kind of hard for us to imagine that. But not very long ago, that was a normal thing. And that was the way people would communicate, is to write letters. And on a day when you received a letter, how would you value those words? Would you just kind of read through them and then throw them away? And just like you would a newspaper, or like you would close a news article on your phone once you were done reading it, would you just discard it like that? Okay, no big deal. No, you would value those words. You would treasure those words. And so the question is, why? And the why is because those words, in reading those words, you get to know the person behind the words. You get to see the heart of the one who wrote the words. And I think that's an idea, or that's maybe a picture of how it is with us and the Lord. We don't go see Him face to face right now in this life. But He has given us His Word. He's given us the Bible, where He has revealed so much about Himself and who He is and what He's done and what He is doing. So when was the last time that you opened the Bible with the aim of gazing upon the beauty of the Lord? When was the last time that you opened God's Word and sat down to read just because you wanted to delight in Him? Briefly, I'd like to invite you just for a minute to consider with me the beauty of the Lord, just for a few minutes. So consider His beauty in being eternally existent, and enjoying perfect communion with himself in the Trinity. We see glimpses of this even in John 1, where Joey read this morning, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before all else, there was just God enjoying perfect communion with himself. Consider the Lord's beauty in creating everything out of nothing by the work of his power. Consider his beauty that we read about in Genesis, where he made the first covenants with the patriarchs, where he chose Abraham and said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Delight in the Lord's power and grace in delivering his people from slavery, like we read about in Exodus, where his promises came to pass that they would be slaves, but then he would deliver them in a mighty way, splitting the sea and leading them across on dry ground. Consider his beauty and his wisdom in giving them the law and in giving them a system of sacrifices and festivals and rituals and all of these things that was for their good, but that also point us forward to something even better. Delight in the Lord's faithfulness to keep his promises by leading his people to the promised land, even when they kept wanting to go back to Egypt. He led them into the promised land and drove out their enemies before them, just like he promised that he would. Consider the Lord's beauty in choosing a shepherd boy named David to become a righteous king, and to whom he would promise that the throne would never pass away from his line. And even more so, behold the beauty of the Lord that we see in the Gospels, where we see that the Word became flesh, that Jesus humbled himself, put on flesh as a man, and he walked with crowds, and he taught, and he healed the sick, and he cast out demons, and he calmed the storm, and he raised the dead, and all these things that we just looked at in John over the last year and a half. Behold the beauty of the Son of God by humbling himself, or who humbled himself to wash the disciples' feet and serve them and take the form of a servant and a slave, even though he knew that they would forsake and even betray him just hours later. Consider the beauty of the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world, slain for our sins, who took on God's wrath so that we might receive his favor. Delight in the risen Christ who walked and talked with his disciples on the beach and who revealed himself to them and had so much grace on them even when they doubted. Delight in King Jesus, who is still calling sinners to repentance today, who is still building his church today, and who is still shepherding and leading and guiding us today. Consider the beauty of the Lord who has promised to be with us until the end of the age, and who has promised that he will finish the work that he began in each of us. My hope and prayer is that we would all grow in seeing God more like this, that we would see his beauty, that we would delight in him. And the more of a picture that we get of this, we're going to cry out along with David, let me dwell in his presence all my days. I just want to behold his beauty. I want to delight in him. I want to see more of him because he's more beautiful than anything that this world can offer. An exhortation from Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. May we be a people who are constantly tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. May we be delighting in him and gazing upon his beauty. Lastly, we come to inquire. The word for inquire here literally means to plow. So imagine you're in a field breaking up the ground with a plow. You're searching something out by dividing it, just the way a plow is breaking up the ground. So imagine you're searching for something that is buried in a field, and you have a plow, and so you go up and down the field and break up all the ground until you find that thing that you're looking for. That sounds like a lot of hard work, doesn't it? It's not very expedient. But if you knew that the thing that you were looking for was a bag full of diamonds, and it was worth more than anything you could imagine, then you would gladly put in that work, wouldn't you? Compare this to your walk with the Lord. Are you seeking after Him? Are you inquiring after Him in His Word and in prayer? When you come to a part of Scripture that doesn't seem super relevant to your life or your situation, or maybe it's just hard to understand, do you just kind of glance over it or skip over it and keep going? Or do you stop and plow and inquire and dig and search until you find the treasure? What about in prayer? When you're praying and your mind is racing and you're distracted or you're tired and you just want to go back to sleep, or you're bored and you just want to go do something else, do you just move on? Or do you stop and get behind the plow and seek the Lord and cry out to Him for help and for clarity and for self-control until He gives you help? Let's take encouragement this morning from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. There we are encouraged. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So as we inquire after the Lord, let's call out for insight. Let's make our ears attentive and let's incline our hearts. Let's seek the Lord like we're searching for hidden treasures. And He promises that we will find the knowledge of God if we do these things. So, in closing, maybe you've heard these things this morning. We've looked at ask, seek, dwell, gaze, and inquire. As you thought through these questions, as you've heard these things this morning, maybe you say, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I've been walking with the Lord. I've been seeking His face. I've been walking with Him and enjoying Him and inquiring after Him. And if that's you this morning, then I want to encourage you to keep going. Don't be satisfied. Don't put the plow down, but keep pushing, keep seeking, keep gazing, keep asking, keep inquiring. And also seek the Lord and how you may be able to encourage those who are not there right now. But if you've heard these things this morning and you say, you know, I've got some areas that I need to grow. I'm not excelling in these things. Then I want to encourage you that the Lord has invited us into this. Even as we saw several weeks back in John, this is how Jesus sums up eternal life in John 17:3. He says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So He sums up eternal life, which is the whole reason that He came, to give eternal life. He sums it up as knowing Him, as knowing the Lord and knowing Christ whom He has sent. And then to reach back to Hebrews chapter 10, where we were earlier, I'm going to read those verses again, but then read a little bit further. So this is Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So So Christ has opened the door for us to draw near. And so the invitation is that let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So if you haven't been drawing near, then the invitation is to draw near today. Draw near with confidence because Christ has shed his blood for your sins and he's alive today. Let's take him at his word. Let's ask him to draw us near. Let's seek after him in his word and in prayer. Let's dwell with him daily. Let's gaze upon his beauty and let's inquire of him. And even if we're in fearful or difficult circumstances, let's seek him above all else. And may this be our one thing. Let me pray for us. Lord, we come before you as just a weak and a needy people. Lord, we need your help. We need you to help us to walk in these things, to walk in obedience. Lord, we need help to see you rightly, to see your beauty, to enjoy you instead of chasing after the weak things of the world. And Lord, even in the midst of scary things or hard things or unknowns, Lord, may our desire be to take refuge in you, to seek after you, and to be with you, Lord. I pray that you would help us even in the rest of our time this morning. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name.